Welcome to my special mini class. Unlike my 500 class, I see more of you have signed up today. So, today we're going to go mountain climbing. We're going to a special mountain called the Mount of Transfiguration. It was here that Jesus, just before he set out for the last journey to Jerusalem, revealed his glory as the Son of God. His face and his clothes on that mountain shone with glory, with a light brighter than even the brightest sun on the snow. Moses and Elijah, those great figures from the Old Testament, appeared on the mount with him, talking to him, but talking to him about his upcoming death. And then the Father spoke as a cloud enveloped that mountain. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." As we go up this mountain, we're going to join three of the apostles who were there: Peter, James, and John. And later on, the Apostle Peter wrote to Christians suffering because of persecution about the glory of their Savior, Jesus Christ. He wrote in his second letter, the first chapter, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain." And so, we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Peter begins, as he writes to these Christians, "I'm not pulling your leg. You're not following cunningly designed fables or tales that aren't true." There were many in Jesus' day that considered him to be a fraud, a fake, questioned even his miracles, denied the fact that he rose from the dead, spoke of the Old Testament scriptures and the fulfillment in Christ as cleverly designed fables by these men who had followed Jesus. It's no different today. In fact, most of Christianity thinks that the Bible is full of pious fables or stories based on the experience of those guys way back there who didn't know any better. Creation, nice myth. Jonah swallowed by a great fish, didn't happen. Miracles, they were puffed up tales to increase Jesus' popularity. But we have, Peter says, you have an eyewitness account. I was there. I saw it. I saw the glory. I heard the voice. But he says, you have something even more sure than my eyewitness report. Have you ever seen accident reports of eyewitnesses? Sometimes they vary in just tremendous amounts of detail. But your faith isn't grounded on the eyewitness of Peter. You know, you might wonder about Peter. You know, he tried to stop Jesus from going to Jerusalem. He denied him those three times. Could we trust even Peter's eyewitness account. Peter says, we have the prophetic word confirmed. I think it was the King James that translated a sure prophetic word. Your faith is not grounded and based on what Peter said, but on what the Holy Spirit said through Peter. Peter said, prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved or carried along by the Holy Spirit. Peter didn't sit down and decide, I'm going to write a book of the Bible. I'm not going to spend my retirement writing another book for the Bible. Couldn't be trusted anyway. But these holy men, these believers, spoke as they were directly inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so every word they wrote is the word of God. And if it's true that we have a more sure witness in the prophetic word because it's God's word, it is by his very nature absolute truth. No errors, no cleverly designed fables, but the very truth of God revealed in his word, the eternal Son of God. Because the word bears witness to Jesus. And he's later, Peter says, the sun that comes up and shines in the darkness of your life and gives you light. And he goes on to say that because the Bible is the word of God, it's not subject to the interpretation of man. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Throughout history, there's been a lot of people that said, well, we've got a little key. We can help you really understand what the Bible means. Don't listen. You have the Scriptures, which are the very Word of God. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. My job, your job, not to interpret or explain or convince people of the truth, but as Paul told the young pastor Timothy, preach the word. The word of God is the ground, certain ground of your faith. For that Holy Spirit who gave the scriptures to holy men, every word works through those words to create in you a living faith. And that's why Jesus said, search the scriptures. Now, you think you have eternal life in them. You're looking for eternal life. And Jesus said, those scriptures testify of me. And so Jesus is going to leave the Mount of Transfiguration and set his face for Jerusalem for his decease, his death for the sins of the world. And as we reach the end of the season of Epiphany, we enter the season of Lent where we accompany Jesus on his journey to the cross and hear those words of forgiveness, of life, of salvation in the scriptures. For these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God and the promised Messiah. Because believing you have everlasting life in his name. So today we climbed a mountain. We were there in the scriptures to see and hear the glory of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. A special prayer has been requested for Jake and Jackie Brendenhoff for the gift of a newborn daughter, Eleanor Louise. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift and miracle of life and the blessings you brought to this family. We pray that you would keep them safe and bless them. But especially we thank you for Jesus and the miracle of a new life created through baptism as we commit Eleanor into your gracious hands. Amen. We sing now hymn 290, stanza 1 and stanza 4. Hymn 290, 1 and 4.